The job title is designed to reflect the requirements of your position, duties you'll be expected to perform, and most work environments are a very useful tool. In one California educational environment, as far as it concerns my next guest, it appears to be just something to put on the sign of what at least was her office door. Here's the disturbing part of the story that she's here to share. Technically, she was fired at a community college as a professor for basically doing her job. Now, this all sounds confusing and frustrating to you. Imagine how she feels. Actually, you don't need to imagine because she's with us now. Dr. Tabili, how are you, doctor?
I'm doing all right, all things considered.
As I said, to go into work knowing what's expected, at least by format and formula, and to wind up facing and being confronted by what you were, which we'll get into, to say at least I think frustrating would be the understatement. But let's start with that because your position was Director of the Office of Equity, Social Justice, and Multicultural Education. So what's if I handed you a job description, what would be on that?
So my role was a faculty director for the Office of Equity, Social Justice, and Multicultural Education, and I was charged with leading a campus-wide transformation in all three of those areas: equity, social justice, and multicultural education, from the positionality of a faculty member.
Now, when you say transition, was there something that the university felt they were falling short on? Were there demands for certain changes to be implemented? What was the need for any degree of transformation?
So, from my understanding through the interview process, there had been flatlining in the equity outcomes at the college for about two decades. The approach that was in use with my office was described to me as being too woke. That was a term that the interviewers used. They told me that some faculty, as a result of the too woke approach, didn't engage with the office, and they felt, accused when they would visit the office of being a racist or, of being a bad teacher. And so, I assured the interview panel, this is before even being hired, that my approach was one where, I did not identify as woke, and that I also sought to create spaces where multiple perspectives could be shared and even divergent perspectives, and where we could identify points of commonality to really best serve our students and the community as a public community college.
And you would think, too, because in the real world, in a working environment, that is an environment you're going to be exposed to, like it or not. There'll be various ideas, views, opinions that you either have to interact with, debate with, or just shut out because you don't want to be bothered. So why not create that foundation within a person before they get into what we like to refer to as the real world?
Yes. And apparently, the panel and the folks who hired me on, were in alignment with that. The problem came in through the evaluations and the tenure review process. And as I started to do the work I promised I would do, some of the evaluators aligned with a singular ideology, and it was a consistent one between them. And they felt threatened by having their ideas compared to other ideas. They expressed that directly to me. They said what I was doing was dangerous, that I would undermine all the work they had done all these years to advance their singular ideology, and that I wasn't representing the ideas I was hired to represent with fidelity. And the problem with that, Chris, is no one told me that I was being hired to represent a certain ideology, and that wasn't communicated through the job description or through the interview process. It's only as I began my work and was being evaluated in unfair ways that I perceived as unfair that this all unfolded, and it was persistent. And I was viciously attacked personally and professionally through the evaluation process, unfortunately.
Was this a case of the very few, albeit loud voices, having stronger influence than a larger number of more rational people thinking?
Absolutely, and that's something I'm glad that you mentioned that, Chris. De Anza is a wonderful place with good people who are the majority there. Unfortunately, it is a small but vocal minority and very vicious if you oppose, you know, what they're attempting to advance, as I've discovered. When I first started at DEANZA, I did over 60 hours of needs assessment conversations with faculty, staff, administrators, community members, and a constant theme that came up and popped up from those was that people said, you know, there's not diversity of thought here. If you have different ways of thinking, you'll get canceled out. And I put that in my back pocket. I didn't know how soon it would be coming, you know, to fruition for myself. It was instantaneous. This vicious and virulent resistance, and you know, telling me that what I was doing was wrong and dangerous. I've never had my teaching called dangerous, and the folks who were coming to my workshops were folks who previously didn't interact with the office. So, you know, I had tapped into the people who we needed to tap into, but the small, extremist majority, a minority, didn't want that and shut me down as quickly as possible.
Talking with Dr. Tabea Lee, who was a member of the DEANZA Community College faculty, and as you're hearing, just for merely doing her job, is on the outside looking in, leaving behind what's probably a lot of young students who were hoping that she was going to institute the change that, well, quite frankly, she was hired to do, at least by words. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. When you look at some of the objections, too, you're trying to bring a Jewish inclusion event to campus, and we've seen that at campuses across the nation. Pro-Israel, you get trouble. Anti-Israel, the red carpet comes in. You had the a founder of the Black Lives Matter movement come in to have a Q&A with the students. And again, for you listening, frustration, I guess, is the undertone here. Dr. Lee, you get in trouble because you allow the students to ask questions.
Yes, questions that they developed, you know, and that was a task I was given. And these students were actually excited to see Alicia Garza, and they had read her book because the school purchased hundreds of copies of it for everyone to read. So, you know, it was just a big disappointment to, at the 11th hour, be told that none of their questions could be asked and that only, you know, her manager's pre-scripted questions and her pre-scripted answers would be asked. And so we would be facilitating a performance. The students almost did not do it, but I told them, you know, as a compromise point, you know, go with their questions, but ask your questions as a follow-up. And for that, I was branded as disrespecting the Black Lives Matter founder. And that was used against me in the tenure process for supporting the students' right to freedom of expression and freedom of speech.
And the tenure review process, the first time you went through, you were getting, well, the door was on its way to closing in your face, and you were given a reprieve by a couple of members. Didn't work out that the second time, though. What changed between hearing one and hearing two?
Actually, not much changed. It was only, Chris, through the intervention of the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism legal team that I advanced through to phase two. The fix was in from phase one for me. They wanted me out immediately, but they had no evidentiary-based grounds, you know, of my performance, because each time they would say these negative things about me, I was submitting, you know, letters from my collaborators across the campus. I was submitting participant evaluations that countered what the lies, literally, that were being told by the evaluators. And I submitted all this evidence. And so all of the things they were saying were subjective and falsified. And I submitted actual evidence to support, and FAIR legal team stepped in to help that process. But this time around, there was no listening to reason. It didn't matter the evidence. The false narrative was in place, and everyone just said, we're going to run with it this time. And it's so sad because I do have a lot of friends and community partners that I built and relationships that I built. And there's going to be some people there now who there's going to be a chilling effect. They're going to know, you know, look what happened to Lee, even, you know, she was the faculty director. So we all better just march in line and be in fidelity, as one of the evaluators said, with that singular ideology.
So when it comes to it with DEANZA College, what is your current connection with them? Are you willing to reconnect, go back in any role? And Have you turned to the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism for any further actions?
So I am on contract until June, but my contract will be terminated. It's been unanimously decided by the Foothill Deanza Board of Trustees. Evidence was submitted to them. Multiple letters of support, including from FAIR, have been submitted to them. But they're running with this narrative that I don't collaborate, and that there's no hope for me to ever rehabilitate. It's hurtful, because it just simply flies in the fact of the facts of this case, the objective facts that are available for the public to take a look at too.
Reading Dr. Lee's story made me think back to one of the times Anthony Bourdain was on the show, and during our conversation, he remarked that he was such a contrarian that if he finds 10 people who agree with him, he goes off and sits in the corner to rethink his position. That just underlines why multiple ideas, multiple opinions, multiple conversations, that's the real world. Unfortunately, that's not the current state of the college world, and Dr. Lee's story, I think, adds a sad view into that part of reality, which... Well, hopefully more voices like Dr. Lee can continue to fight to change, to shine a light on the darkness as so many want this to be hidden in. And Dr. Lee, I know that there's a home for you somewhere at a higher institution of learning, true learning, not indoctrination. I hope you find it, because your dedication to reality, to discussion, it matters, and I think a lot of people are in need of it. Thank you so much for what you do for the developing minds, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.